American songwriter, we had the opportunity to talk to Zuli Jr. over Zoom video. Zuli Jr. was born in Manhattan, raised in Long Island, or on Long Island. His mom's a singer, his dad's a music lover, and he got into piano lessons at a very early age, always had an interest in musical theater, picked up a guitar around 13 or so, and that's when he started to really start writing songs. Zuli talks about a band he was in for a while. That band kind of fizzled out. He started his own solo project. He talks about putting out his first record, Supernatural Voodoo, which was an EP. His 2017 full-length record, On Human Freakout Mountain, where he was during COVID, and putting together this new concept record he has, Stop It, God. You can watch our interview with Zuli Jr. and myself on our Facebook page and YouTube channel at Bringing It Backwards, and follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Bringing Back Pod.
We'd appreciate your support if you follow and subscribe to our podcast wherever you listen to podcasts.
We're Bringing It Backwards with Zuli Jr. Yeah, so this is all about you and your journey in music and how you got to where you are now.
Amazing.
Awesome.
Let's get it.
So I did read your born and raised in New York, is that correct?
That's correct.
Tell me about that. What part of New York?
So I was born in Battery Park, and then I did most of my growing up on Long Island, and then back and forth. I lived in the city for a long time, and then eventually I came back to Long Island because wanted more space for equipment and my van. Didn't really want to be parking that on the street, really, in Manhattan or in Brooklyn or wherever.
Anywhere probably.
Or anywhere, yeah. It's been good, honestly. I mean, you know, I'm super grateful and lucky that I got to live somewhere where there was like such a prominent music scene and I got to be a part of it. And no complaints really, other than, you know, some cold winters.
Sure. And the pandemic.
Yeah. But again, I was on Long Island, so it was like a bit more manageable.
Okay. That's good. Yeah, because it got hit hard there in New York.
Yeah, I mean, I can't even imagine. Like, luckily where I was at, like, I was living with like several roommates and we had a backyard space. And like, luckily at that time of year, it was like kind of warm. So we were spending a lot of time outside, like in the backyard area while we were quarantining and stuff. So I can't imagine like being in a tiny little cooped up apartment in Manhattan during
the thick
of it. That would have been, you know, power to those people really for keeping
it together. No, I know. Definitely. Wow. Okay. So born and raised mainly in Long Island, you said.
I was born in Manhattan and I lived out there for a while, like my college years and a little bit after.
Cool. Well, how'd you get into music?
My parents were like super, they're really big into music. My mom is a singer. She was a country singer.
Cool.
Still is. She performs a good amount. And then my dad is just a lover of music. So it was kind of like she was a singer but never knew how to play instruments, so she wanted me to learn piano, and I started taking piano lessons at a really young age and then eventually learned guitar and drums and other instruments. And then my dad was the music lover who was the one who kind of was like showing me, you know, The Clash, Nirvana, Led Zeppelin, all these groups.
Cool.
And all these artists and stuff, and so he was kind of fueling the fire on one end while the other was fueling the more creative side.
Sure. Wow. She had you learning piano stuff to accompany her. So would you play with her and stuff?
No, not funny enough. I feel like me and my mom are, we don't blend together in the best way. Whereas like, I feel like the two of us are like, we're too close. we argue sometimes when we try to work together, but
I think
it was just like almost like this thing where when she was growing up, she wanted to, you know how to play piano and be able to accompany herself. And she's like, well, I don't want, you know, him to go through that. And it's like, you know, I look at it in a lot of ways, like, you know, playing piano or at least like dabbling in music at a young age is like a really good like life skill. And at least to give it a shot. Cause I think, you know, there's a lot to value and to learn from it. So I think that's where her head was at. And then eventually I really ran with it.
Yeah. That's amazing. I completely agree with you and with her as well. She threw you into it that way, but so piano first
and then guitar and then everything else
from there. How old were you when you started playing piano?
Like 5.
Okay.
So somewhere around there. And I was taking classical lessons. So I was like strictly classical piano for like a really long time.
How long did you do that?
Maybe until I was like about in high school.
Oh, wow. So you did it for quite a bit of time.
I did it for a long time. And, you know, not always as enthusiastically as I am now. I feel like for a while I was like, like less prone to like wanting to practice and things like that, you know, being a normal kid who's just like wanted to hang out.
Of course. Right. Right. And they probably weren't teaching you the songs that you wanted to learn. And
I had a cool teacher. My teacher was actually a big inspiration for me where, you know, I was learning a lot of classical pieces, but he was also like down with showing me like some like rock and roll stuff and things like that. So, you know, it was a nice balance, but again, like, I feel like in those formative years, you don't really like see the value in like, oh, like I have to learn how to read music. It's like, that wasn't like the most interesting part of my day back then. But now I'm like, man, I really wish I like, cause I can read music, but like, I really wish I got better. Like I could like
throw a
piece of music in front of me, but you know,
sure.
It is what it is.
It's funny how that is, especially with a lot of kids. I mean, they get thrown into it and then they just don't want it. And it's like, I'm so glad my parents put me in piano lessons, you know, like years later, because it's the foundation really for everything.
I mean, I feel like that. For me, at least, you know, I was definitely like, it came naturally. So I didn't really feel like, oh, I need to practice so much. And, you know, I had other interests and stuff. But, you know, once I found music on my own and I really started being like, oh my gosh, like, I really want to like start, you know, doing this and I want to be performing, making, you know, that's when it was like, wow, like, if I didn't have this foundation, I don't know if I would have gotten as far or been able to even stick with it or for it to been even realistic.
Sure. Sure. With your mom, did you ever get a chance? You said you guys clashed like creatively, but did you ever have a chance to play with her on stage or did you ever go to her shows or does she still play out or like, what
she
was
definitely didn't play out.
It?
Like she didn't, once I was born, she wasn't playing out as much like showcase kind of thing so much, but we definitely did. Among her like singing jobs, she also ran a karaoke and there was a lot of
That's rad.
A lot of nights of me crashing the karaoke and we would duet or something or whatnot. So
what were your go-tos?
Oh man, it's been years. I'm trying to think. like Picture by Sheryl Crow and Kid
Rock. Okay, sure.
Like that.
That's rad. fun. Well, when did you start playing guitar?
Probably about 12, 13 years old. I always credit, I was with my dad and we were watching Tommy by The Who. And I was like, wow, that was sick. Like I really need to get a guitar and start playing guitar. And it was funny too, because my dad took me and got me a guitar, but my mom was like super upset because she was like, he's going to stop playing piano and that's going to be that. He's going to like totally switch. And she was kind of right. I feel like I definitely leaned more towards the guitar for a while, but you know, life is a circle. Everything goes in, you know, in a pattern and stuff. And I feel like I bounce back and forth between the two. Like right now I'd say I'm more prone to piano, but you know, I'm sure guitar is going to have another moment.
Oh, really? Really? More prone piano right now?
You know, to me, it's just like, I feel like piano is like the perfect instrument. You know, it's like, you're like working both sides of your brain. You can really dive in and really like play a piece in a way that feels, you know, really full, even though it's like so sparse and just one instrument. And
sure,
you know, and then plus with MIDI and things like that, it's just like, you know.
Oh yeah, game changer.
Possibilities.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. Well, when you started playing guitar, was that when you started writing songs, or were you writing songs prior? When did the songwriting start? And were you in like a band or anything in high school?
Yeah, I started writing songs, but you know, it was again very casual. I would say my real songwriting kick came around high school era, like junior year or something like that. That's when I really started getting invested in like more like avant indie music and like more current music of the time that was really exciting me. And then me taking that and like, you know, applying it and being like, wow, like I want to start performing and I want to like start writing songs. And then through that, I started to, you know, learn about like gain my voice kind of, and then figure out, you know, the more emotive side of songwriting and things. But yeah, it was a little bit later. It took me a while to really, you know, connect the musical dots for me in a way that felt like I was ready to like fully dive in and like, you know, run with it.
Was there what do you remember when that moment happened, when you were ready to, you know, kind of take it full swing?
I feel like, I've said this a million times, but it's just so, it rings true every time. But, when I had first heard the band Akron Family, I was just like, and they're pretty obscure. I feel like not too many people know about them. The bigger one that I would like say is an equivalent that also like really sparked was Animal Collective for me. When I heard the two of those, I was just like, like, it was one of those kind of instances where it was like, I can't tell if this is like the worst thing I've ever heard in my life or the best thing I've heard.
Right.
Like, it was like so polarizing in the most amazing way ever that like, I just was like fully obsessed, like had to then like scratch the itch. And then that was like kind of like the beginning.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's funny. Well, at what age was that when you discovered animal
collective? That was like junior year. So
around that same time.
Yeah. Like 16, 17 years old.
Okay. And Do you start playing with friends or were you writing songs and staying, you know, kind of pretty?
Yeah. So I was writing with friends. I had like a couple little bands before, but my first like band that I was really like seriously like pursuing and playing a lot of shows and stuff, was called Wild International. And, that was with a couple buddies of mine who were all like-minded and we were all into the same kind of music. And we were doing that for a while and like, you know, playing a lot in the city and, you know, all around. And, you know, it was going really well. Honestly, people were really into it. But then, you know, as the time goes on and it was like kind of becoming like, all right, is this like something I'm seriously going to keep doing? Like, I want to keep doing this. You know, there's a lot of pressure at that point in your life, I think, for people where it's like, you know, a very big distinction and a big moment of like, all right, like what is like the next X amount of years going to look like and what steps do I need to take now? And for me, it was like, you know what? Sometimes I love the creative energy of being around a lot of people, but I think also like sometimes the confines of a band can kind of like, you know, a band can break up. Like an artist sure. can just like decide, I'm going to take some time to chill for a little bit. Something like that. And for me, it was kind of like, you know, I don't want anyone to feel guilt for taking a path that, you know, I'm kind of like somewhat leading the charge on or anything like that. And, you know, I think things were kind of just developing in a natural way where it was like, I wanted to explore different styles and different ways of recording and expressing myself in general and stuff. So it kind of just felt like, I think this is the time to try something new and, you know, see what comes of it and really just like, you know, officially be kind of like leading the charge and see what comes of it. And then Zuli was born. Zuli became.
And when Zuli became, did that soonly or like pretty soon after that, is that when you put out Supernatural Voodoo?
Yeah. So I want to say like I'd taken a little time. Wow. We're getting like really deep. This is awesome. This is like really given the full trajectory of my life, so to speak. Like Wild Eye ended in like 2013. And then I took a little time and I recorded the songs in like 2014. And I think in 2014, I had my first show as Zuli, where it was kind of like the test run to be like, all right, are people going to, you know, fuck with this?
Right.
And people did. It was like, it went like super well. And then like February 2015, Better All the Time came out. And then it just kind of started snowballing from there.
Wow. And what was the first, like you said, it's snowballing. What were the first, you know, what were the next little achievements that happened?
There was like a couple, I mean, I'm trying to think, you know, big moments, but you know, I started releasing the singles. There was some like nice blog attention, from, like Nylon Magazine was posting about it and things, which was exciting. And then I was playing a lot in Manhattan and whatnot and Brooklyn and such, just promoting and just, you know, wanting to get on better shows and stuff. And then through that, I started getting involved with So Far Sounds, which was really big because that was like a big network of playing a lot of shows. And then the Spotify playlist thing started happening through just playing shows and people like getting in the know. And I feel like through that, it was starting to legitimize everything where I was then starting to book my own tours, which I then started, you know, I booked like a 7-week tour the following year.
Wow.
Which was a very interesting learning experience.
Sure, I'm sure. Was it solo? Were you by yourself?
No, I had a band.
Okay.
And those guys came out with me and but it wasn't support or anything like that. It was like just
you guys,
where the shows were going to happen. You know, just planned it out and like reached out to all the venues and, you know, just kind of routed it myself. And then, you know, whoever was support. So, yeah. So kind of like, you know, from those beginning stages of just being like, this is what I want to do and just doing it. And like, kind of like no looking back, you know, it just kind of all started progressing.
Sure. Sure. What year was it when you did that tour? Did you have that record out yet? Your full length?
That was 2016. So I had only an EP out And, you know, the shows in New York City were getting better, playing at like nicer clubs and stuff. And then that spring was the tour. And then as soon as I got back, I was in talks with my first like label contract slash finishing up the debut record. And then that was soon to follow the following year.
Wow. What was that like, getting the attention from record labels and stuff? That must have been huge.
It was exciting, definitely. I think I was a little naive to how terrifying it could be in some ways at the time. But overall, it was like, it was a really good time. You know, it was like, it just felt like, you know, just by doing the thing, you know, it was going to just keep on kind of happening. And that was like, that was the best part of it all. And, you know, I was lucky enough for that first tour, for example, to the drummer who I was playing with at the time had a van we could take, and we literally ran that van into the ground. Many breakdowns and such, but
of course.
We made it back in one piece. And, you know, just then making that next connect of like, okay, well, like, we're going to get, you know, we want to get a label, and I want to get an agent, and then, like, you know, buying a real nice van. That's like the next step. And then that allowed that, and then more touring and things. So yeah, it was an exciting time.
Wow. Well, so when it came to finding all those things, like the label and with the agent and everything like that, was that just word of mouth and kind of meeting people and taking meetings? Like, how did you even achieve that?
It was kind of word of mouth, honestly. I feel like some of the best relationships I've ever put together for myself in terms of like business and things like that have always just been through, I met this guy who knew this person and then was like, yo, you should check out what Zuli is doing. He's really dope. And then it kind of, you know, went from there. So, you know, I found that a lot of the, you know, industry events or whatever, where like people show up randomly and just like, those never really worked out as well for me. I think just in a way where, you know, I think it's better, at least for me, I'm more of a person of kind of like establish a little bit of relationship with somebody. And then that has always kind of like helped me out in a way where, you know, that the other person is then like wants to like kind of like recommend and then like, you know, extend a favor or whatever,
right,
like that. And then, so like pretty much all of the things like that kind of worked out in that way, so to speak. And, you know, there were others and things, but at the time it felt more comforting to go with people that I was like, well, I know this guy through him and this and that. And like,
sure.
Know, and getting to know people and such.
Did you have like did your mom ever achieve that sort of success as far as like getting a record label, or did you have her?
She definitely had some success. She was on Star Search and things like that.
Were you able to kind of chat with her and say, hey, like, do you have any advice for me? Like, people are coming to reach out to me.
No, not really. Only because my mom is, I think it's just a little different. She, again, it was like for her, she wasn't necessarily like a songwriter. Like, she had original songs and stuff, but she was really like, you know, she worked with the people she was working with in the studio and things like that. And she really kind of like needed that. And as far as like the business side of it, you know, I feel like just from me pushing in that kind of way, I had already kind of like, I don't know, I guess, trying to think of the best way to, or what exactly what I'm trying to say right now. I feel like it was like kind of out of her wheelhouse. Like, she was like, oh, a label, like multiple, just the one that's the best. It's like, you know, all right, well, there's a lot more to it than that, you know?
Right, so, sure.
It wasn't exactly the most like, you know, experienced opinion in some ways. So, you know, I obviously talk things over with them, and obviously cause they're a big part of my life, but
sure.
Yeah, they weren't the end all be all or anything like
that. Got it. That's cool. And then what about that record on Human Freakout Mountain? Tell me about that album. Was that after the management and the, you know, record label?
That was still in the heat of it. I mean, again, you know, there was a lot of cycles and phases, and some people stayed, some people went and things. But that was when I signed officially to my first label. And you know, a lot of those songs on that record were already being like played live and tested out for the show. So they kind of knew what I was going for and what they were, you know, expecting. And, you know, it was a really great learning experience, honestly. You know, it was my first full project I really put together. And I was really stoked about it. And I felt like it was like a culmination of like everything I loved and knew up until that point. And it was really freeing too, because I always say that, like, you know, once that record came out, I felt like this, like, you know, weight lifted, not necessarily a bad weight, but just more like, wow, like I really let that out. Like, now it's its own thing. It's like, what am I going to do next? And then like my mind kind of was like, you know, ready to kind of like take on something totally, not totally different for the sake of totally different, but just like, cool. Like, well, like how, you know, I wanted to keep it exciting for me mostly. And I was just like, what's the next thing that's going to, like, you know,
right,
scratch that itch again. So
like, right. Once you released it, it was like, okay, now moving on. What's up next?
Yeah, exactly. You know? And like, I think that at the time, you know, at least for me, I was like, so my upbringing was in this like DIY indie rock scene. And I was like, yeah, this is like what I do and like that. But then like I released that record and I was like, you know, like I love that stuff, but it's like, I don't really like listen to indie rock music as much as I listen to other music. And I kind of started like, you know, scratching my head and kind of being like, I wonder what it would sound like if I like tried this or if I tried that, like, you know, I don't necessarily have to do like this one thing forever and this and that. So it was a really interesting time after that record came out of me, you know, experimenting and just like, you know, really wanting to figure out what was going on, all while, you know, the touring was really going off and there was a lot of tours happening and things like that and a lot of traveling and a lot of fun and excitement and things like that. So yeah. Sure.
Were you doing still a lot of DIY tours? Like, were you setting them up yourself, or at this point were you able to, you know, open up for said touring artist, or like what was your next step?
Kind of DIY. I was like starting, it was kind of like the thing almost where like I was getting like favors from agents and things like that who were like kind of like, you know, we were like all like kind of like dabbling and like wetting our feet a little bit, where it's like, oh, like I can help you out with this show and this and that. And like it was like, all right, cool. But I didn't hook up with my first like actual agent until like a month before the record came out. And that was just through, again, like someone who found some of the music on like a blog or on Spotify or whatever, and she really liked it. And then she ended up being an assistant to an agent and showed them. And then it just kind of like all went from there. So again, it was like, it was never like, it was always like, you know, who knows who kind of situation or whatever you want to call it.
Sure. And from that record, like, tell me, because you have a new album coming out, what, next month, right?
Next month, the 14th.
Mid next month. So were these songs that are going to be coming out on this record, because I want to talk about this record, but I kind of want to see where the gap bridges between like coronavirus and that first full length, like were these songs done, getting ready to be released, and then that happened and you were kind of like, everyone's kind of like, we got to, you know, take life on pause here for a second to see what's going to happen. Or where were you pre COVID? And then tell me how that kind of,
well, that's a big gap to go through. So
are you putting music out there though? I mean, you put the record on 2017. I didn't see, you had a few singles in there in 2020.
Yeah. So, I mean, not to dig too deep. Basically, yeah, that record came out and there was a solid amount of touring for 2018. And I was starting to write new songs, some of which is like, there's one song I wrote within that time of 2018 that's actually going to be on the record, funny enough, or that it made the cut to the record. But that was a tough time for me. I was making music that I was really excited about, and I was being really stifled by the people I was working with at the time, who, you know, felt the exact opposite about how I felt, where they thought I could only do this one thing. And that was like inhibiting me from really like pursuing any other creative things, where it was like, no, we need you to do your indie rock thing, but it has to also be a top 40 hit because we mismanaged how we put out your first release and this whole thing.
It was this
total nightmare that I was in for over 2 years.
Oh my gosh.
So I put out, so in that time, 2018 was a lot of touring and I was trying to write songs, but it was really bad. And then 2019, I finally got to put out one of the songs, which was the song You're Mistaken, which I was excited about. But again, that didn't really, you know, it was like not a Hail Mary, but almost like a, you know, okay, we'll put out this song of yours, but like, don't get it twisted. We still need you to do this, like such and such situation.
Right.
So, you know, finally, up until like the end of that year, I was really trying to play ball and really trying to, you know, live a few lives at the same time, almost like how I reference on the song Blue Sky that's just I just put out, like, you know, trying to make myself happy and then other people's happy. And it really did not work for me at all. It was really, really difficult time that I informed a lot of what this album is talking about in some ways. And, you know, through that experience, I finally kind of like said, you know what? I know what I want to do. I have the songs that I want over this time. I had written like 40, 50 ideas at least. Whereas previously to that, I was much more confident where it was like, or not confident, but like I was writing a lot of ideas because I had to keep kind of presenting ideas to see if I was going to be able to keep making music. But for OHFM, for example, I knew exactly what I wanted. And like, if it wasn't inspiring me to the fullest extent, like why I didn't want to work on it. It's like, so there was no like B-sides to the record. It was like, this is the record. And then I'm going to make another record after.
Oh, okay.
But then, you know, after that time, I decided I got to get out of this. So I had to go through the whole music industry law side of things. And then that December, I went up state with my buddies, Air Atlantica and TK the Architect, who are two producers who I'm very close with and, you know, helped me out with my musical endeavors and such. And we made the record, Stop a God, in about like a month. But it was a two weeks of like full on just like living it. And then like a couple days of like overdubs and stuff after. And then the record was done like February 2020.
Oh.
And then COVID hit.
Yeah, March, what, 13th or something like
yeah,
that?
Yeah, and it was like kind of this weird phase because unfortunately I was still going through the legal battle up until about July of that year.
So you had to hold on to the record kind of no matter what.
Yeah, no matter what. I couldn't put out music until that was set up. It was like July or August, honestly. It was a long time. Lots of lawyer fees. kind of bittersweet too, because I felt like, you know, it was so ironic because through this like personal experience, you know, one of the things that resonated with me a lot was, you know, social media felt like my only avenue to kind of like still be present without being able to release music or to tour. Cause I wasn't able to tour really either, because it was like, the agent was like, we need you to release music, so we have more things to help you get better things. And it's like, okay, well, I can't release music because people don't want me to release music. So I wasn't touring anymore. I wasn't doing this. I wasn't doing that.
Yeah.
Social media was the only thing. And I feel like that was like really hard on me because it just kind of was like totally fucking my self-perception and like getting validation from there rather than, you know, I wasn't getting it anywhere else. And that was the only place I could get it. And, you know, I kind of started realizing that once I started putting the songs together, like with the concept of an album together, like, wow, this is like, I see this through line of everything of what I'm talking about. And that's kind of how the album took on, you know, the themes and the ideas and the Daisy concept and all of that. And when coronavirus hit, it felt like, wow, like, you know, it was extremely ironic and like very like present to what was going on, because it was like the album was almost like a mantra to like escape social media and things like that. And now it's like, well, this is what it is. And like the thing you want to do, the only way you're gonna be able to do it is through this.
Through social media, right.
Yeah, so what are you gonna do? So it was like this weird kind of thing where it was almost like, damn, I kind of wish I could release this right now, but I couldn't. But then eventually it just was like, you know what? I don't want anything to do with 2020. Don't even pass me that. I don't want none of it. We're going to just put it off to next year and like really get everything in line. And I was able to work with this other label that I licensed the record to, who are some really great guys I really trust and I value. And it's just a better situation to be in, where it's like less like owning masters and like owning. It's like just like, all right, you're going to service this and then I'm going to make another one. And if you want to service that one, great. If not, go somewhere else, whatever. So yeah, that was a crazy time, but at least for me, COVID was a really, really great time to reflect and just kind of be like, you know, I think that in the before time, it was like so easy to get caught up on like, you know, okay, like I'm going to make this and then I'm going to tour for X amount of months and like this and that. Like, you know, once everything and all of that stopped, it was like kind of like, okay, I really want to do this because I love making songs. And I already knew that, but now it's like being reinforced to an even greater extent. And, you know, it really allowed you to ask the bigger questions of like, why? Like, do you still want to do this? Like, is this still worth it? And, you know, ultimately, you know, it is. And it's, you know, I couldn't stop. If I could stop, I would have a long time ago, is what I always say. So it's,
sure,
an inherent thing. So I think COVID was a great reflective time. And, you know, we're still in it. And I still think the album is, you know, very, you know, it resonates a lot with what's happening. And, you know, it.
Yeah, it sounds like that way. So you didn't have to change much. You didn't, or if anything. It's because it sounds like it almost kind of adopted what was already going on, as far as like you're talking about, you know, your how you perceive something online versus in real life, so to speak. But now everything's online, so everyone's got to be their best self on the internet, and like this whole concept of Daisy, that was already a thing.
It was all done.
Oh wow! Okay.
Yeah, like the whole thing was, like I said, it was done in like February of 2020. So I had already like had the thought and the idea, and like kind of. You know, I mean, foreseeing is not exactly how I see it. I mean, I think the, you know, the writing was on the wall, for lack of a better phrase, much earlier on. But
sure.
But yeah, kinda... yeah, all of that was kind of was already set in play. It was just a matter of like, you know, being able to release it.
Yeah. I love the hoodie that you have. I mean, all the merch is dope, but I was looking at your Instagram, the hoodie, the like the actual Daisy itself. It's really it's a cool logo, man.
Thank you, man. Yeah. I'm super stoked with how it came out. We have a lot of cool stuff. I think we're doing another merch drop in May. So if you want one.
Oh yeah, there we go. I will have to
check it out.
Check it out for sure. Well, tell me, okay, so is the record a concept album then? The
full, yeah, I think so.
It does tell a story.
I think it does, so to speak. You know, I think concept albums are tricky. I think I would personally, at least for me, like, It's ironic and funny. Like, I come from a musical theater background.
Okay.
But I don't like albums personally that are like, this is the story and this is what happens next and da da da. You know, like that's like super. This is not what I'm into when it comes to like albums and like art and creating in that kind of way. Nothing wrong with it. Like, it's just not what I wanted to do. I personally like the idea and what I adopted for the album of, you know, again, like finding that through line. And then, you know, the album has an arc, and there's things that I think that, you know, all the songs talk about, you know, different shades of the same kind of things and, you know, different perspectives of like, you know, what I was going through. But, you know, I think it's important for the songs to kind of speak on their own level and, you know, have that kind of intimacy. And then, you know, through the writing and the process of making the music, then kind of, you know, I was more interested in like finding that concept or that idea, and it just happened to like, you know, kind of eloquently come together where it just like made sense and it felt really, really great. And you know, just kind of like letting it what is the word I'm looking for? Just letting it be more up for interpretation rather than just spelling it out for the listener, you know?
Sure. Sure. No, that makes a lot of sense. It also kind of reminds me, comes back to how you've gotten a guitar with the Tommy album, right? Wasn't the Tommy record kind of what drew you to guitar?
I don't know if that record necessarily drew me to making this record. So
no, but I'm just saying in the sense of like, you were like, oh my gosh, like, and that record, like it tells a story, but it also each song individually can be singled out as like its own piece.
Yeah, exactly. I see what you're saying. That's more of a good example of what I'm talking about, where you know, it's less black and white. There's a little bit more room to breathe and whatnot.
Sure. Really exciting. So, well, now that everything hopefully will be able to open up here sooner than later. I mean, it looks like people are starting to book shows in November, and there's festivals scheduled for the end of October and September, and do you have a plan on, I mean, now that it's going to come out, hopefully you'll have a chance to play it live.
That's the goal. And that was another actual, you know, thought in terms of pushing off the release a little bit, you know, among other things. It was like, you know, if we wait a couple more months, it's like, maybe you could play next summer. It's like, maybe. So let's see. But there's been some offers. There's been some talks about maybe doing some like rooftop stuff. I feel like New York City this summer is going to be interesting. I feel like. I'm hoping we're like on the, you know, the down tilt of everything, because I don't know. There's this air here right now where people are like ready to wild out, I feel like.
Oh, I think that's everywhere, man.
I think that's everywhere, but I think
everyone's just sitting by the door, like waiting for that like a green light.
It's fair, but I think that New York City was like, you know, arguably one of the more strict places in some ways. And
oh yeah, sure.
I don't know. I think it's just like, I think everybody's like ready to go. So I'm really excited about that. But yeah, I've been, I'm starting to get the live show together right now, like as we speak, literally. And, you know, figuring that out, I'm hoping that there's going to be some plays this summer, but if not, definitely, you know, real in person, you know, by the fall.
Yeah, but definitely.
It's exciting though, man. I always say though, or I've been saying to like the team recently that it's like, for this album in particular, it's like, I would totally be down to do a rooftop show, but I feel like with everything with the, you know, the whole sonic landscape of the album stuff, it's like, I really feel like it would like really cater to like an indoor performance with a light show. I'm always like, oh, like that's really what I want. But you know, obviously, like, you know, I got to take it one thing at a time. But
sure. Well, hopefully, I mean, like I said, looks like stuff's starting to happen. So you could do that light show and those indoor performances.
That's what I'm hoping, man. It's definitely exciting. I'm curious to see, but you know, it's nice that there's a glimmer of hope right now. It's very exciting.
Definitely. Definitely. I like that. That's perfect way to put it. That glimmer of hope. Mm-hmm. Well, dude, thank you so much for doing this. I really appreciate it. I have one more question for you, Zuli, before I let you go. I want to know if you have any advice for aspiring artists.
Totally. I would just give the advice that I was talking about earlier of like, you know, you got to just do it at least. And even with, you know, if anyone's here, you know, people who took the time to listen through my story and things like that. It's like, you know, those times where I was blocked up and like, you know, waiting for a moment or like waiting to release something or this, that's the time where it's like, you can get lost in here and, you know, things, it becomes more about perfection and less about just letting things be and living and really getting it, you know? So I am, you know, always learning, always, you know, trying to get through the best. And for me right now, I think for anybody who's trying to do creative and make music and things like that, is you got to just do it. Just put it out. Just play that show. Don't worry about it being the perfect one. You know, it's always going to get better. Just by the act of doing it, you're going to get better at doing it. And, you know, that's why Archive exists on Instagram, right? You put that stuff out. And if you're like, well, what was I thinking with that? You take it off and then, you know, you try again. So I'm just big on advocating for people to just, you know, just start. And, you know, everything else will follow. That has always been my tried and true method in this.